Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Three receivers and Barkley in the backfield. Atlanta going to bring four this time. Try to get there. Hurts is hit as he throws. Bates
up, Jesse, baby.
Jesse Bates interception.
Yeah.
With 32 seconds left, Jesse Bates comes up with the interception. And Atlanta, in the thick of the night, has stolen one from the Philadelphia Eagles.
Jerry didn't watch it, but we did because misery loves company. And if my life sucks, I want your life to suck too, Philadelphia. And a 97% chance of winning that football game goes out the window. Flushed by Kirk Primetime Cousins, and the Atlanta Falcons stun all of Filthy. Good morning, Metroplex. Final hour of the show. Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, Cowboys insider Bobby Belt, as the Eagles fall to 1-1, and Nick Sirianni is getting absolutely destroyed for his decision to pass on 3rd-and-3, which Saquon Barkley botched.
And in that scenario, I was thinking they might not have any timeouts there, but obviously they did with the incomplete pass. That would have came down to maybe a minute, and so we wanted to go up 6 points, and it didn't work. So, the decision to pass it there, again, like I said, where they were junking it up inside with it being 4th-and-3 to go for it, I thought. With them not having any timeouts, I wanted them to be down a touchdown and see if they could drive the field, and they did. Hats off to them.
So there's Sirianni. Oh, I take no greater pleasure in anyone's sports suffering than him. His face. I can't stand his face, his eyes, Big Dom out there.
Oh.
And I know Saquon is getting blamed. Sirianni is getting blamed. But on the Manning cast, Eli and Matt Ryan, they did not like that strategy. How fast did Philly go down the field? How quick was that?
40 seconds?
Yeah. I mean, it was three plays, and they were in the red zone.
And they did not love the strategy on the Manning cast with the former QBs.
Other than that pitch shot, all outbreakers.
Yeah.
All
I'm surprised they let them have that. Let them have the outside. Yeah, you would think, hey, take away the outside, let them throw over the middle, run clock.
Yeah, they allowed them to save so much time to the point that Peyton was like, Atlanta's almost moving too fast. He's like you're leaving too much time. Like, they were like, when that last one was caught inside the 20, don't even go out of bounds. Just like, get yourself set, get yourself ready. He's like, I would have been in their ear like, guys, let's slow it down a little bit. Let's make something happen here. But it was odd that they were completely willing to concede the sidelines.
And maybe we shouldn't listen to too much of what Matt Ryan says. Hey, bizarre.
Matt had a stroke. Had a stroke. I don't think he knew who was in the lead.
What was the setup for this? This was kind of crazy. This is Matt Ryan as a guest on here, and it was 18-15 with, let me get the clock.
It was a minute 40 to go,
minute
right?
Minute 46 to go.
And Philadelphia was ahead 18-15.
Yes.
And he was talking about it as if they were losing and needed to somehow kick an onside, make an onside kick.
All right, so they'll get the ball.
Let's do some math here.
So they got to
kick a field goal, a minute 10.
You got to run it. You get it back with a minute, get a touchdown, no timeout.
Yeah. You got to stop them here.
I was always in these situations, guys.
That's
like,
nice.
as soon as we do this, let's get the ball back. Let's get into field goal range, kick that field goal as fast as possible, and then let's go for that onside kick and try and just save as much time as you can for that end of game Hail Mary. Like, to me, it's that's your only chance now.
What?
Well, you're just up three, so you can hold them to a field goal. You hold them to a field goal, you're just down six.
You got
to
hold them here.
Okay. We're gonna hold her. Okay. The Mannings are trying to be so nice.
They're trying to be so nice. So I think what Matt's saying is,
if they score a touchdown,
what you do is you go down the field, you get a field goal quickly, and then they do the onside kick. That was like four steps ahead. Yeah. Like, come on.
Well, he said in these situations, I think he was just completely confused.
They were down three.
They
were down three. They weren't down 10 yet.
No, they weren't down 10 yet. That's, I mean, if they're down 10, that makes sense, yes. Right? That makes sense.
Go and get your quick score.
Yeah, but he cart before the horse.
Yes. Wide receivers are dropping like flies everywhere. Deebo Samuel, gone. Puka Nacua, gone. Cooper Kupp, gone. Last night, A.J. Brown, according to Adam Schefter, is going to miss a couple of weeks. Now, Justin Jefferson says that he's going to play with the quad issue, but the Rams decimated at receiver. Deebo, A.J. Brown, as NFL receivers are banged up.
Yeah, it's not been a good start to the season. Just in general, like you talk about how some of the limitations there have been with the passing game, two guys who held out for deals in CD and Brandon Ayuk have not had necessarily the starts they wanted.
And Jamar's not getting good press.
No.
It's Cincinnati.
No.
He is not getting good press. Fighting with Burrow. He was pouting afterwards in the postgame with reporters. Now, I was looking to see how the Cowboys could benefit from all these receivers being hurt. They don't. Baltimore, New York, neighbors went off on Daboll, it looked like, on the sideline. Daboll stared down this reporter, too, that asked about his job status. He stared him down in the Giants postgame presser. Pittsburgh, and then the Lions. So, no. And then you get San Francisco October 27th, but that's after the bye week. That's a long ways away, and hoping that Deebo may not be there for that. And then McCaffrey should get San Francisco punished and lit up. He's gone for a while now, being put on the IR.
Yes, and he'll be out for
a Friday night. Weeks.
We had no idea that he was going to be out a whole month.
And then you hang Jordan Mason out to just dry and like make him stand up there in front of the media and like, hey, don't you know how you're supposed to lie for us?
And then, of course, the stunner yesterday, Bryce Young benched after 2 weeks for Andy Dalton in Carolina.
Yep. And, you know, this was 22 hours after his coach gave him a vote of confidence. So you wonder how much of this was the owner, David Tepper, stepping in. And
are you furious if Tepper made this call? The owner?
In a vacuum, maybe not. But like he is overstepping his, like, he does this all the time. The guy he's been the owner, 7 years? He's got 4 head coaches.
Has he been there that long?
Man, yeah, is it that? Jeez, time is flying. He's had a ton of head coaches, and
not even 7 years.
Rule, like Matt Rule was there, had an awful, I don't know how many players are even left for Matt Rule's draft classes. It's like a couple, but I mean, they've pretty much purged everybody. I feel bad for Bryce Young because he threw an interception the other day against the Chargers, and he honestly looked like he was about to cry.
He's had Rivera, Perry Fuel, Matt Rule, Steve Wilks, Frank Reich, Chris Tabor, and now Dave Canales.
Jeez.
And that's since 7 coaches. He's had 4 full-time coaches since 2018 when he took over.
Daniel Jeremiah is not usually just ripping organizations, and he tweeted on Sunday, said Panthers roster is in rough shape. They're years away from being good or competitive. Derek Brown is a stud. He's out with an injury. There's not a single other player on their roster that scares you on either side of the ball. They desperately need difference makers. And then he says, one unscientific experiment I do every week is look at the jerseys in the stands. When 95% of them are former players, you've got a big problem.
Yes. He's throwing Adam Thielen.
Right, and it's like, you know, Tepper just has no patience. He doesn't believe in operating under patience, and that's the problem here. Like, if it was just anybody else, like, yeah, okay, fine, you know, you get your shot, but this guy does this all the time. Is Bryce Young a good football player? Like, okay, no. Like, we know that right now. But he also has not really been given a chance with this team. Like, that's a bad football team.
Well, at least he's not getting talked about by his head coach like Will Levis in Tennessee. Oh, yeah. What happened here, Bobby, in week two after week
one? So, Will Levis had a very critical fumble in the red zone where he turned over the ball. And this was the second week in a row where he had a big-time fumble causing a turnover. This was in a game against the Jets.
Was the other one a fumble or the other was a pick six, right?
But I
wasn't it a terrible pick six in week one?
Well, I mean, he had that too, but he had a fumble that, like, Brian Callahan had already addressed with him. Like, hey, like, let's protect the ball here. Let's do it this way. So, he has another red zone fumble. And he is seen on TV just mother effing Will Levis. And in the post game, he was asked about, like, and typically coaches will soften it a little bit, like, yeah, like, I mean, we just got to be better, whatever else. Not Brian Callahan when he was asked about Will Levis in the post game.
I think the camera caught it pretty clear, if I had to guess. So, yeah, I was upset. It was dumb. It was the same exact thing he did last week, and he cost us points in the red zone. And that is what it is. He's a grown-up, and he knows better. And so, you know, I was really irritated that he cost us 3 points in a game that we probably needed it.
Woo! So that's pretty strong. That was dumb. He's a grown-up. He knows better. It's like, okay, that's a little aggressive. Well, I'm sure he had time to think about it. Look, cooler heads prevail. You step up there and go, let me say... Look, I obviously wasn't happy about it, but I could have handled that a little better. Nope, not yesterday when he was talking to the Tennessee media and he was asked about his issues with Will Levis that were caught on camera.
You know, sometimes that one surprised me again. I thought we had coached that one. And then just to see his instincts take over in that moment and that to happen the way it did was obviously clearly I was pretty upset about it. I still am. I mean, it's not something that I think is an acceptable way to play. But I think on the flip side is that Will did have a much better game than last week. I thought a lot of the things he did, we saw improvement. That part was positive. I coach Will hard, but you know I do love him pretty hard too, and I think that's okay. I think we can have those moments, and unfortunately, an intense moment got captured because I'm also the head coach, not just the offensive coordinator, and so those conversations don't always get caught on television, and it happens a lot, but mine happened to be in front of everybody, so I don't regret it. But I do coach Will hard, and I think he's accepting of that coaching. And I thought he did a lot of things a lot better.
I don't have a problem with it.
Really?
I like the answer, and you shouldn't have a problem with it either, because I'm not going to let you be double standard belt in here when Mike McCarthy gives his generic, just like Jason Garrett responses, and you pick those apart and roll your eyes and get mad about it, and then you get the total opposite here with Brian Callahan being really blunt, really honest, and you have a problem with that too. You can't have it both ways. I think if they have, it all comes down to the relationship those two have. All right? Like, people are like, true. Oh my God, why'd y'all get Bobby on the show? You hate Bobby's guts. Shit, yeah. Bobby and I have the relationship. We can go at each other like that. I think we all do on the morning show. We love hard. Yeah. We love hard. We love intense. If they're cool like that, I don't have a problem with it. If he knows Levis can take it, he's sending a message to the rest of his team. He's telling the truth. Will Levis has made some stupid very decisions. Dumb. So a lot of times we're like, hey, just tell us the truth. Stop being generic and all this BS. Brian Callahan did. I wouldn't make a consistent habit of it, beating him over the head. But if you feel like it can... What I did week one did not matter in being harsh about it. So I'm going to double down.
Look, one of the things I give McCarthy credit for, and one of the things that he gets high marks across the league from, is his interesting or funny.
No.
One of the things he gets high marks for across the league with other players is he protects players from the outside. He will shield them from stuff. He'll deflect stuff. He'll address it internally.
You know what though? Maybe he's done it too much.
Maybe
because I have no reason to believe that anything is going to change around here in terms of mindset, toughness, responding, or this team folding up. Well, maybe Mike has made a mistake. I'm sure the players appreciate it. Maybe it's actually harmed them.
Maybe so. I think that he holds them accountable in a different way when they're behind the scenes. It's just that he's like, there's no need for me to publicly throw you under the bus. That's not productive to what we're doing here. And so I think he gets high marks for that. My issue is when... It's pointed outwardly. That's my issue with Mike, is when you get a generality that's kind of pointed outwardly, like, well, y'all, or like, oh, that's convenient criticism, or, oh, I know you guys are talking this way, where, like, you externalize any responsibility on your side at all. But, I mean, Callahan, to me, it's just like, if you want to have your blow up, you have your blow up. I think saying dumb, and he's a grown up. He knows better. Like, there were just, there were certain descriptors that felt a little unnecessary. And there was no, I don't regret it. I coach him hard. Like, there was no softening of it the next day.
The Packers had a third down, and what a bad loss for the Colts, by the way. Green Bay.
It's Malik Willis.
Putting in Jared Sandler's face, getting the W with Malik Willis. I think this was 16-10. They had a third down, and like Malik like takes off running, and Matt LaFleur is like, yo, it was a pass. Why aren't you throwing the football?
I asked Malik why he didn't throw the ball on that third down, and he told me that Josh threw up on the ball. I was like, that's the first time I've ever heard that. Matter of fact, the official came over to me, Sean came over to me and said, you know, we saw your center throwing up on the ball. Do you want us to take him out next time? I said, absolutely. Please do that, because, I mean, you're talking about a critical situation. And it's third down, and I've never had a throw with vomit on a football. So I don't know. I don't think Malik probably didn't appreciate that.
Wait, so
that's
if,
disgusting.
But seriously, if I can, I'm going to throw the ball in rain. I can't throw it with puke on there.
It's not can't. It's you have chunks of you pour.
How awesome would that sight have been? The slow motion of the spin rate, the ball flipping around.
And then you got a quarterback, the receiver catching it. And what happens when he catches it? It sprays in his face.
Well, yeah, like,
it's disgusting.
Malik Willis has enough trouble just throwing a football in general, like disgusting. Vomit on there. But the other thing is, you got to remember, it's not rain is just wet. With vomit, it's wet, but it's also like there's the viscosity, there's the slime. It's just not a great grip. They ran the ball 53 times in this game, Green Bay did.
Who's the center who pooped himself?
It's like they were playing the Cowboys. The center who pooped himself?
Yeah, he was a center, an NFL center. We played for the Raiders. He pooped his pants in the middle of the game, and then like they kept saying, don't go under center, you got to go shotgun, because the quarterback's hands were there.
Around the NFL, here on Sean and RJ, Jerry Jones, Choppy says on the fan text, is not getting the greatest reviews for the interview that
Sleepy Jones
just gave with us. Let's touch on some of the points from the Tolos. Is there a chance we can feel good about this and just, like, the Saints being good, is that our out here? Are the New Orleans Saints actually legit? And can we use that as a little possible excuse? Next on The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Yeah. All right, we're going to crosstalk with the KMC Masterpiece at 9:40. Jerry Jones joined us about an hour ago here on DFW Sports Station with Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, and Bobby Belt. What are some of the total responses that you've been seeing on Twitch? I'll handle Twitch. I'll handle Twitch here in a second, but you've been checking out the fan text.
No accountability. Actually, people are saying that with the Callahan comment, that's accountability. The Cowboys could use some.
With the Titans head coach killing Will Levis?
Yeah. Beyond that, just this is more of the same. How do you not watch the Eagles game?
Yeah, I got this one tweet from Dustin. A general manager did not know that the main divisional rival lost last night. Wow. I didn't even think about that in the moment because of owner Jerry.
Right.
I'm thinking of owner Jerry Jones first. I'm like, okay, business meeting or early night or at a dinner doing something else. But then Dustin had the light going on in my head. Oh, yeah, general manager as right. well.
Yeah. How do you not have a running back problem?
By the way, does that matter? Let's have a real discussion.
No, I don't care. It's not.
Does it matter if Jerry Jones finds out what happened this morning today about the Eagles?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter that he didn't watch the game live. You know, like, that doesn't matter to me. Now, if they were playing the Eagles this week, that would, you know what I mean?
Well, but you couldn't just catch up on it today?
Well, you could, but I mean, theoretically, you wouldn't want to watch it live, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, it doesn't matter that much to me. McCarthy doesn't, he didn't watch the Thursday night game, the Ravens-Chiefs. You know, did we have a problem with that? I mean, I bet you most coaches don't watch it.
Well, Ravens-Chiefs is different from the Eagles.
It is, but you play the Ravens, week three.
Yeah. Three weeks prior.
I don't have an issue with it. I mean, would I expect he would normally know? Yes. Do I think it's, here's our example to point to that shows, oh my gosh, there's gross incompetence in this building or that's running. I think that would be an exaggeration. I don't think it's that big a deal.
Other people say, how do you not have a running back problem when none of your running backs can make somebody miss? This team was dominated and they're just head in the sand. Nothing to be excited about right now with this football team. Then said he was on the money. So I don't know.
You know, keep going up. I want to see the Twitch.
That's the YouTube.
That's the YouTube? Yeah. All right, this is for YouTube. Pablo, keep on going up. There was one more. I wanted to get it by name. Stop right there. Bringing the show. That's when Jason goes on the station. I don't know whether workout is deserving of it. For the two or three or four stupid comments that continue to be on there, and I shouldn't even be giving you attention of, oh my gosh, what a joke of a show. Why don't you ask? You're just stupid. You just lack any brain power, or you have zero responsibility or zero awareness of relationships with people that you work with. We asked Jerry Jones in a respectful way about the run defense, about his personnel, about his team lack of response that always happens when they get punched in the face, about the head coach on the lame duck status, about the run game, them not being able to run the football, and all the problems that we talked about in the offseason. Every single one of those things was asked about. But because it wasn't done with yelling, screaming, and cursing towards someone we speak with every single Tuesday for 15 years, your lack of brain power can't comprehend that. You can do it in a different, respectful way. He asked about every single thing. You think that was a pleasant interview for Jerry Jones? I don't think it was. We're sitting there laughing. I had written down on Sunday before the ass kicking, joke about Mike Tyson, Jake Paul, joke about Tom Brady. They got killed, didn't call for that. You can do it in a different way, but you're just too dumb to sit there and absorb it.
They want pitchforks.
You must work by yourself.
And here's the thing. Everybody, you can have your own opinion on there and think that if you want, it's wrong. Because here's the thing is that, to pull back the curtain a little bit, we spend a lot of time not only just figuring out what we want to ask Jerry, but the exact way we want to ask it. Because there is, if you guys want to hear an interview where it gets shut down and dropped and you get no answers about this or no insight into how Jerry's approaching the team, we can throw it out there that way if you like, but that's not going to be a very good interview, and you're not going to hear the sort of things that you need to hear.
It doesn't matter if Jerry's told. I just have to do that once or twice a year. I have to vent. Otherwise, I ignore it, but I just saw a couple smartasses on the Twitch or the YouTube, so I had to say something. All right. Is the only out for us right now the Saints being really, really good?
I mean, look, if the Saints wind up going 12-5 and win the South and are the 2 seed, sure. But it's an answer you won't get for, you know, 3 months.
Well, can we? Why can't we get it by week eight? What if they're seven?
Oh, we could. Yeah, because they got an easy schedule.
We will know if they're good by mid-October. They've got coming up Philly, Atlanta, Kansas City, Tampa.
Or will it still not justify the way the Cowboys got murdered?
Well, I mean, look, they did get emasculated, okay? Like, there's one thing. It's one thing to get passed on. You know, it's another thing to get run on. And when you get run on, I mean, that really does shake you to your core.
91 points through two games for New Orleans, the fourth highest total in NFL history through 2 weeks. The third team ever to score at least 44 in three straight games. All right, so they scored 48 in their finale. I guess I just can't bring myself. I have a hard time with the Geno Smith type breakout or play. I'm like, I've already made up my mind about it. You've been in the league 7-8 years. I've seen you, Derek Carr. I can't bring myself to believe that Derek Carr is going back to that MVP year, Derek Carr, because it was so long ago.
It was eight years ago.
And that Dennis Allen is not just an anonymous name who's known only for defending Tom Brady. And that this defense, like Tom Brady had me thinking on Sunday, man, I've really underrated this defense. DeMario Davis is like an undercover fantastic
he's 60.
Player.
He is a good player, though.
But he's just, like
he is older,
60.
But he's a good player.
Cam Jordan, like I shouldn't just think of him as a media personality. Like, oh my gosh, like they're a tough defense. I should think about as a top 10 unit while listening to Brady here. What are the chances that they're really, really good, Bobby? And is that our only way out? Or what's happening with the rest of the NFL, which would be a very Jones-like answer. Well, all you got to do is look at San Francisco. All you got to do is look at Philadelphia last night. All you got to do is look at Baltimore. It's the nature of our league.
Yeah,
versus like, I'm just judging you. Like, it's like disciplining your kid. I don't give a crap what you're telling me about Tommy and Susie and what their parents are doing. This is what we're doing in this house. Well, the Cowboys, I don't know whether I should get on them for saying, look at the rest of the league and look at other teams losing. And it's just the nature of the salary cap era. I don't know how to process it all, balance it, and which direction to go in. I want to blame them first and foremost. That's my initial gut.
We ideal.
Yeah, I think they are good. I think New Orleans is better than we thought. I think Clint Kubiak has... Derek Carr looks really comfortable in that scheme when you watch the tape the first 2 weeks. He looks like he's kind of found a rhythm and that it really leans into a lot of his skill set. That offensive line is really good. And that they've made some additions there. They've had some young players who are kind of stepping up and coming to their own. So, I mean, that offensive line is something where we legitimately didn't know how good it could be until the season. So it's not like smoke and mirrors. I think you're seeing it's coming to its own now. And so if you're going to have one of the top offensive lines in football, you've got Tyrann Mathieu, who it looks like he's prime honey badger these first 2 weeks. That interception Dak threw, when I'm watching it back on tape, that second interception that was such a bad
Did
throw.
Did he see him?
Tyrann Mathieu totally played him. Where Mathieu, there's Kevontae Turpin coming around on a crosser, and Tyrann Mathieu is like going towards him, shading over towards him. Dak sees that and turns and release, and as he's releasing, Tyrann Mathieu just like hops into, like spots it, jumps in front of it, picks it off.
But
and
I can't bring myself to be like, Alvin Kamara is still a fantasy must-have stud.
I passed over him like twice in the draft.
Yeah.
It's, you know, like, I was like, nah.
If I gave you Saints over under 10.5 wins, what would you take?
See, it's funny. I was thinking 10, 11 wins. Schedule. So, I mean, that's right around. So, I'll say over based on who I've seen on tape.
And what was their next schedule, Bob? Do you have it?
So, yeah. So, they've got what they have coming up is they've got Philadelphia, Atlanta, which, you know, we'll see how good Atlanta is. But Philadelphia, Atlanta, Kansas City on the road, and then Tampa Bay, which Tampa seems to be a good team.
Ooh.
And then after that, though, it's Broncos, Chargers, Panthers, Falcons, Browns. Bye week, and then it's Rams, Giants, Commanders, Packers, Raiders, Bucks.
Over.
Yeah, I think it's an 11-win team.
This is a tough 4-game stretch.
It is.
They're 5-1 or 6-0, then we can feel better about this. I believe.
I think based on what I've seen so far, and it obviously can evolve, but it looks like a team that's probably going to be a top 10 team for most of this year.
877-881-1053 is the Franklin Franco Injury Attorney text line here on DFW Sports Station. If you missed it, it did not sound like Jerry Jones was given the green light for Dalvin Cook.
Very disappointing.
It's inexplicable. Why not?
Because there's nothing wrong with the running back room, apparently.
Why would you not? We just didn't get a chance to use
it. He didn't understand the question.
Are you embarrassed?
He didn't understand.
Like, they got bigger in the middle, as a lot of people are saying that Jordan Phillips should not be in the National Football League, and that Linval Joseph was getting blown off the ball as well. Yeah, you got bigger in the middle, like at the 11th hour.
Mm-hmm.
These were desperation signings that no one else was competing for.
This is
don't confuse activity for productivity. You went and got some guys and some names, and oh my God, a flurry of signings. Well, it's what was left on the shelf when you went late shopping for your hurricane supplies.
Yeah, I think based on the way things sounded in this interview just after one loss, it's going to get really, really loud around this football team if they start losing a few games in the next few weeks. If this gets to 2-4, 2-5, it's going to get, I think this could get bad.
They lose to Baltimore, an 0-2 team. Now, granted, they're not an 0-2 team, right? There are levels to 0-2 teams.
Never made the playoffs in their history, though, when they start 0-2.
No, but, like, you know what I mean? Like, there's 0-2 teams at the Panthers, and then there's 0-2 teams like Baltimore. That's a good quality team.
What's after Baltimore?
Well, they got
Baltimore is the Giants. Then it's on the road against Pittsburgh, at home against the Lions, on the road against the Niners.
Let's crosstalk with the KMC Masterpiece next on The Fan.
Takes a snap. Kirk looks, sails it. Drake there, caught! Touchdown, Atlanta! Drake London, for the first time in 14 games, he stands in the end zone, and the Falcons have tied the game.
That was the call last night on Falcons radio.
That was only the second of three times I thought the game was over. Obviously, the Saquon drop, but then when the Eagles started moving back down the field, I was like, all right, they're going to figure out a way to get a field goal and win this thing, and then that ridiculous interception that you could see coming from, I don't know, a mile away.
Did any part of you think about defending Sirianni, because are we just going off the result of the play that Saquon Barkley should have caught it, should have been game over, meanwhile Sirianni's getting destroyed?
I don't think he should be. For that, I know there's other things that came along, but that was a great play call. It was successful, and Saquon has been very adamant last night, and probably just last night, that like if he would have caught the ball, the game was over. I thought it was a really good play call. It worked. You saw he had that easy.
You play to win the game, and that was a play to win the game. It just didn't.
Oh, okay. So you don't have a problem with
it? I don't have a problem with the play call. I have a problem with Barkley not catching it.
Although you could say Saquon has like led the league in drops, and when you do pass, I'm just playing devil's advocate, when you do pass, you leave open this possibility.
You're right.
We're just so double-sided with play calling. It drives me crazy. When we're down by the goal line, people get so ticked. The Cowboys run a jet sweep or reverse. You're getting too cute. But when the cute thing happens, that's awesome. You are so unpredictable. You totally caught them off guard. It's a no win.
I've always kind of felt like if you're the theoretically better team, you just go to finish the game and win.
Finish the game.
And if you're not, then I would be like, hand the damn ball off.
Especially with the word identity, right? Like the Eagles' identity is
interceptions.
Short yardage power, in my opinion. Hand one off to Saquon, get a yard at the very worst.
Tush push.
And then tush push.
That's what I would rubber. No, look,
or two of them.
Yeah, I didn't have a major problem with the play because, I mean, it was a perfect pass. It was a perfect play call. The design was right. He dropped it. Like, what are you going to do?
Even when he dropped it, were you still kind of like, well, they're not actually going to lose, right?
No.
I didn't think they were going to lose.
I didn't either.
I probably would have gone for it there still. Win the game.
Okay.
Win the game, right? Yeah, win the game. Yeah. But, you know, like, I would have ran it twice. Or, you know, run it the first time, see what you get, and then make a decision. Because when you run it there on third down, third and three,
you're going twice.
You know you're going to go twice. Cause this, you're going to get at least a yard.
Did you think after the machine gun in the air penalty that maybe Atlanta was going to beef the extra point and it was just going to end up overtime?
Like, they're going to get, this would be perfect Philly to luck out here with that 48-yarder. But Peyton Manning had said he would have taken the yardage on the kickoff.
I would have too. Just because, it's become like 48 yards seems like a long way, but it's become much more like,
yeah,
you're good. And if you would put it on the kickoff, then I was like, well, you're going to get field position. You still have a little bit of time. And I think you saw, like, if you could have bumped up 15 yards, that would have made a big difference.
Yeah, we're not in the era of Scott Norwood anymore. To the point of, like, you still thought Philly was going to win.
I really did.
I did too.
How could you not? The Falcons' offense was lifeless out the entire night. We think Kirk Cousins is compromised. Now, all of a sudden, you know, they're going to go down, right down the field and score a touchdown. That's why I lose the analytic argument when I'm like, no, make them score. I don't view 3-6 as a one score, the same on a one score level. Scoring a touchdown is a lot harder than kicking the field goal, but a lot of analytics disagree.
Well, and that's why it's like, I mean, we've talked about this before with, like, I'll talk about how, like, the way when Mike talks about certain things with baseball, where I'm like, oh, I don't understand the game at all. Like I think I do, but I clearly don't. Like, when you hear Peyton, like, leading into that drive, and he's like, look, in a lot of instances, and Matt Ryan was saying the same thing, he's like, in a lot of instances, this is a new offense for Kirk Cousins. This is likely to be the sharpest drive of the night for him because it's two-minute offense. It's basic concepts. It's just football where he steps out there and goes, I know exactly what I'm running. This is just comfortable. I don't have to worry about new schemes or anything else. And he's like, and you saw it on that last drive. He was more comfortable than he had looked the entire game.
And it's a softer, totally different defensive look.
Which I kind of always, hate to.
Yeah, but then if you line up like normal,
then you get crushed if you give up a big play.
And someone catches a bomb, you're a moron. Again, another can't win situation. Corey Majors, what's coming up?
Guys, we do have Brian Billick joining us at 1 o'clock today. Well, not his brother Tom, Sean, as a longtime joke amongst the show and station here.
He got so mad about
it. Yeah, it was really funny. And also, Mike asked all the football questions at 10:20 today. Mike is very invested in this. I think, as a matter of fact, he said yesterday, I already have them ready. So, he had his football questions prepared on the plane.
What's up, Mikey? Good morning.
Hey, how's it going?
It's all right.
Why? He said, hey, how's it going? And it just sounded almost sarcastic.
One means a how are you, unless it's in therapy. Like, no one, like, that's why I always try to answer real to catch someone off guard.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey,
doing fantastic.
Hey, how you doing, guys? A caller calls in like, hey, guys, what's up? And I try to throw them off by giving a real answer.
Yeah.
No one cares how anyone's doing.
Would you care? No. If somebody was like, look, I'm having problems, man.
Yeah, I would care, but I think it would shock you
because that's they would be answering it honestly. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was that's my
what
point.
What kind of problems?
I know, that's why I'm asking Sean. Yeah,
really throw them off.
Yeah.
Like, dive into it, man. We want you to dive into
marital
this.
Problems?
I don't have problems. I'm just saying.
You don't have any problems?
No, I have some problems.
He's got a ridiculous water bill.
How's your prostate?
Problem. I could see that.
I don't know.
What was your water bill this last month?
Oh, yeah. What's the update on this one?
Now, they're adding sewer to it.
Sure.
And for some reason.
Do they do trash as well?
Yeah, it's $80 sewage per month, which I think is. I don't know if I've ever paid that.
Are you sure if that's always the same? Because like in Garland, it goes on kind of a proportionate scale. So the higher water bill is, the higher your sewer and trash will be.
So if you poop a lot.
I guess so. Yeah.
It was a $600 water bill.
Jeez.
Because of your child having to play in that
with
bounce
your
house.
Child.
In that
with
bounce
your
house.
Child.
My kid was probably inside chilling, but you know, we had to entertain the Hagelin kid and leave the hose running for 4 hours.
Whoa.
So he was, you know.
I don't remember that part.
Yeah,
of
I
the
didn't
party.
Remember all of those out there.
Out of what?
The hose.
Oh, the hose. Where the hose
it was
at?
A Paul Pierce party.
Oh, man.
Yeah. You got Diddy update?
There is a Diddy update.
Try to read this without getting
in trouble.
Is he going to
read from the indictment?
As a matter of fact, Hagelin, I will read from the indictment. Have you heard of a freak-off? I have not, but.
I heard the freak. That was a thing.
Oh, my God.
That is literally off.
Oh, it's literally
okay,
off.
So,
yeah, we just call that a format flip.
Yeah. So, according to the indictment, he forced women into these freak-off sessions. With male men of the evening.
Men of the evening. I've never heard male
so you're
ladies.
Comfortable
you,
saying
you have to specify that in
sessions,
this day and age.
But you don't want to say prostitute?
I didn't want to.
Okay.
They were recorded while Diddy sat in the corner and did the old Louis C.K.
All right.
Well done.
So by himself.
This is an art form of you
Thank
reading.
You. The show these, that went on too long and wasn't really that
They
funny.
Were elaborate and produced performances that he arranged, directed, Louis C.K.'d himself during and then recorded electronically.
He thought he was on, like, making the band again, like directing and making the porn.
Who knew that Chappelle sketch was, like, so true
to life? Cambodian.
During these regularly scheduled freak-offs, which would last for days, he would give out drugs to the victims to keep them obedient and compliant. According to
wait a second, lasting for days, not like, all right, come back tomorrow for the session. Like, you're all staying here?
You're staying the whole time, right?
What the hell?
He kept videos of the sessions without his victim knowledge. Afterwards, the victims would receive IV fluids to recover from the physical exertion and drug use.
If you have to give somebody IV fluids just in a normal, like, a regular life situation, there's probably something wrong.
No, that's drinking for the next day. They have those portable IV units.
It's like Pudge getting one after a game at the Globe.
That makes sense to me.
Right?
Or Deion getting one at halftime.
It's actually nothing like it, but yeah, I get what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying. Yeah. But that's it. That's, a lot of different. The indictment is, this is bad. Oh, this is not good.
And that's coming from the official, like, documents? That's
coming from the official indictment, yeah.
Wow. 877-881-1053 is the Franklin Franco Injury Attorney text line. We are live on the FanCam, Twitch, and YouTube. And I don't have anything for the final 2 minutes.
Oh.
Yep.
That's a shame. What have you done in the last month or so, or since you got the bill to counteract your hefty water bill?
I do not refill my pool.
Okay.
Is it starting to gurgling?
Yeah, it's evaporating.
But no.
I know, but what do you do from that point?
Well,
you have to fill it back up, or your
I'm doing it like one time a week. One time a week versus, like, I had it on every other day for like 30 minutes. I'm doing rain dances outside in order to try to turn off the sprinkler system. Yeah.
How often do you run your sprinklers?
Twice a week.
Okay.
You?
Yeah, we got a really hefty water bill because, I mean, the lawn looked great. My wife was like, hey, I started running like 3 or 4 times a week. And I was like, that is too much.
I run mine once a week.
Yeah, I could see that once or
twice. But we have lots of trees, so there's a lot of shade.
Well,
trees and tables. That's what we have in Plano. Lots of tables, lots of trees.
Lots of tables?
Yeah, I have the most tables. We've pointed this out. We've had a long discussion about this. I have a lot of tables.
What's water tables?
Just tables.
Oh,
just
table,
like picnic tables?
Table in the kitchen, table in the parlor, table in the bedroom.
Parlor? Do you have a parlor?
Table in the parlor.
I don't even know what a parlor is.
Breakfast nook area.
Do you have fancy conversations in the parlor?
Yeah. Yeah. This is where you go take your cigars and your bourbons, and you just kind of sit there. I take Sagamore Spirit Rye whiskey.
In your ditty room?
And pour it in there.
Oh, my gosh.
You see, you have a lot of trees. Do you have a lot of, like, grass that won't grow?
Mm-mm. No.
Zoysia?
Yeah, it's St. Augustine. It's very thirsty grass. Yeah,
the other day, Steve Michelle's neighbor came out to the Catholic firehouse, grass. And we were sharing lawn notes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm looking for like a golf course mower. It's called a reel mower. It goes, like, instead of going circular, like a counterclockwise, it goes up and down. Try to get one of those. I'm gonna really take this lawn to the next level next year because I saved it. I saved it this year. I had a water leak or whatever. So all the iron, all the minerals and the iron, the what was getting on the grass, killing the grass. It's fixed.
All right, we're back tomorrow morning. Alec, screw you.
Oh, wow.
Screw you. Nick Sirianni, Saquon Barkley screwed me. I'm getting screwed in fantasy. I got a high score and explosive team, and I'm 0-2 off of bad luck.
Hey, at 11 o'clock, we're going to talk to Mickey, but also, nobody cares about your fantasy team, but today we do. So tell us about your triumphs and tragedies. Well, maybe not that word.
The KMC Masterpiece is next on The Fan.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.